Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to the Fighting on Film podcast, the podcast all about classic and obscure war movies, from the Normandy landings to the days of chivalry and swords. If it's been captured on film, we're going to try and cover it. I'm Robbie of RM Military History.
I'm Matthew Moss of Historical Firearms and the Armourer's Bench.
Ho, ho, ho! It's Operation Delta Force December. Can you hear the sleigh bells, Matt? Santa is nearly here, and we are halfway through Operation Delta Force December.
Yeah, something.
Like, they definitely are some of the films of all time.
They are.
So, I think Matt's broken already.
No, we're good. I'm going to hold it together. Let's do it.
He's holding back the tears. So, yeah, if you've not been listening, or you're a new listener, or you've taken a few weeks off.
Well, I'll tell you what, according to the metrics, no one's been listening.
Turns out Operation Delta Force December might not have been the smash that the boffins at FOF HQ thought it was going to be. But we carry on regardless with Operation Delta Force 3.
Yeah, bloody mindedness at this point.
Yeah, I thought that was the name of the movie.
We will do all five of these films.
Operation Delta Force 3, Clear Target from 1999. I'm on production this week. And the film, without further ado, was directed by Mark Roper, who worked on Operation Delta Force 1 as a first assistant director. He also was a first AD on Killing Season, that movie you keep mentioning, Matt, with Robert De Niro.
Oh, yeah.
And John Travolta.
Yeah.
Callbacks galore.
Right.
And
what a film that looks.
It does look great. It looks better than these. And a 1988 Skeleton Coast, a mercenary film starring Robert Vaughn, Ernest Borgnine, and Oliver Reed.
Oh my God. Is that Mech Month 3 material?
It could. I watched the trailer, it looked amazing.
That sounds like a mix between The Wild Geese and
it kind of is.
Late 80s, early 90s weirdness.
Yeah, well, there's a guy playing like a British officer in it who was out of Zulu as well. So there's a lot of cool connections in there. I think we'll have to visit it. And he also directed Operation Delta Force 4, Deep Fault, next week's movie.
Oh, God.
Yep. 2003's Shit. Marines and two episodes of Ultimate Force.
Wow. Which ones?
Episode 1 and 2 from the fourth season. So that the one where they blew everyone up.
The ones that aren't.
Yeah. Yeah. The when they sort of dropped every single plot, every single bit of narrative that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. That's the one.
Exactly. The film was written as all of the Operation Delta Force movies were by Danny Lerner and David Sparling. They also were the film's producers. Produced by Millennium Films and New World. I think New Image had changed their name by that point. I know. Facts galore. Filmed in South Africa yet again. In June, July 97. So I think our theory, if you've been listening to Op DDD, OPDFD, as it's, you know, abbreviated.
It just rolls off the tongue, doesn't it?
It really does, OPDFD. I think they've been cranking them out really, like, close together. So you can sort of feel it with these.
I mean, that, like, explains why no one's in it that's in any of the others coherently.
Yeah, that really annoys me, though.
I can't possibly be in another three of those films. I have other work at the moment. Sorry.
Yeah, I've got an episode of CSI Miami that I need to be in, or whatever.
I'm filming The New Professionals on Thursday. I can't possibly do Operation Delta Force 5. Sorry.
I have to wait 15 years and direct an Academy Award nominated feature.
Spoilers, but yeah.
Home premiere was in the USA on November 23rd, 1999, and in November 99 in the UK too. So hot together.
It's wild to me that they're releasing these films down the line when they've already got, like, another one in the can already.
Yeah.
So at that point when that was released, they've already wrapped.
They're probably filming
on
five.
Operation Delta Force. Four,
yes.
Five is in pre-production.
Yeah, because five comes out in 2000.
If we get me there. Some random guy to play Skip Lang.
I need another guy. Need another Skip Lang.
Give me another actor. I need another guy to play Skip Lang.
No, it can't be the same. It just
he's
can't,
gotta look
okay.
completely different from all the other guys.
Yeah, he's like James Bond. It's just a code name.
Give me a woman, Skip Lang.
Yeah.
Six would have been wild.
It would have been crazy. I think six would have killed us. I think five might.
So, okay, yeah. Let's do cast. Yeah,
let's do cast. I've got a retro review.
Outstanding.
Well.
So this week's Skip Lang is played by Jim Fitzpatrick. He was a supporting extra in Armageddon. He was in an episode of Miami Vice. He was Captain Pescow in an episode of Tour of Duty, one there for Rob. He was also in US Seals in 2000, and he was in the long-running US soap All My Children for quite a while as well. Brian Gennessy plays Hutch. He was in Traitor's Heart in 1999. He was in a film called... The Bold and the Beautiful. Sorry, he was in a film called Cold Harvest, which I'll come back to in a moment, and a lot of other home video stuff. But then he too was in a soap that ran for a very long time. He was in about 180 episodes of a show called The Bold and the Beautiful.
Wow.
These aren't like high-end soaps. These are like American channels that are
okay,
somewhat down the list, have like soaps that people get dedicated to.
I see.
It's from whatever what I can see. I'm
so it's like Hollyoaks, but
soaps.
American.
Yeah, basically.
Hollyoaks.
Then we got Greg Collins, who plays Matt McKinney. Again, lots of US TV work. He was Private Gamble in The Rock. We'll talk about The Rock later on.
Yeah.
He had experience. He was an extra in Coyote Ugly, Armageddon, Godzilla. He was a guard in Con Air. He was in Independence Day, Enemy of the State. He was in a 1985 episode of The A-Team.
Wow.
He was a helicopter pilot in Under Siege 2, Siege Harder. And he was in US Seals in 2000 as well. And then he returns next week, Rob, in Operation Delta Force 4, Deep Fault, as Captain Skip Lang.
Fucking has come full circle. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
I think
I'm going to preface next week's episodes as Operation Delta Force December, Operation Delta Force 4, our fault, I think, for putting the faithful through this.
There we got John Simon Jones, who plays Vickers, and he was in Guns of Honor, Never Say Die, Merchant of Death. He was in one episode of CI5 New Professionals.
That's crazy.
He was in Frogman Operation Stormbringer in 2002, which is, I think, the second film of the US SEALs series under a different name.
I watched the first one the other night, actually.
Did you enjoy that? How was that for you?
It was all right.
Was it?
Every time I put something like that on, I just wish it was a US Navy SEALs Vietnam.
You just wish it wasn't on.
No, it just makes me wish they'd done a Navy SEALs Vietnam movie. Like, so I'm like,
where's the remote? Why did I do this? Why have I put this on?
Can't quite change the channel.
I tell you what, US SEALs September is going to be absolutely off the chain.
It's never going to happen.
Then we've got Gavin Hood, who
ignore
was
him,
Sparks.
He's crazy.
I mean, you put us through this. American Kickboxer in 1991, Project Shadow Chaser Night Siege 1994, The Redemption Kickboxer 5, Traitor's Heart in Enemy's Hands. And then, of course, he has a bit of a career change, and he decides to do something a bit different with his career. And he tries his hand at directing, and he only goes and does some actually really good filmmaking.
Oh, no.
Beginning with Totsi in 2005, then he does X-Men Origins Wolverine. Do you remember when they were going to make Origins films for all the X-Men?
Yeah, I know. That would have been amazing.
Like that ever happened.
Cyclops going around, I can't find my glasses.
And then you've got Ender's Game in 2013. And then he did, I think we mentioned it the other week, Eye in the Sky.
Yeah, we should do that. That's a good film.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. With Helen Mirren and Alan Rickman. And then he did
on-screen appearance
Secrets.
Of Alan Rickman, actually.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And then Official Secrets with Keira Knightley.
Yeah.
Which isn't a bad film about the leaks.
So he paid his dues, did he? And then he got to do some good stuff.
Yeah. And then he's got a film coming up soon called The Test about immigration, which is in post-production, I believe. Then we got Darcy LaPierre, who plays Ariana Decker. And she was in films including Think Big, Double Trouble, Street Fighter. And this was actually her last film role before she retired from acting.
So her character, right? So you've seen the film, Matt, unfortunately.
I think so.
Is her character and the hacker meant to be related or going out? Because they lead
question.
To them
no
knowing
idea.
Each other, but it's never cemented properly.
No, it isn't.
And it's a major plot point right at the end. It's like it just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, I know. I feel like they worked together at some point.
Yeah.
And it's kind of mentioned very much in passing that
we worked
at the DOD together years ago.
Yeah.
And he's kind of obsessed with her. In
a
way.
But they don't ever build on it.
Well, why would you? Anyway, then we've got David Dukas, who plays Lombardi. Lots of TV. Merchant of Death, Cold Harvest. Luckily, we're going to see him again in a couple of weeks' time with Operation Delta Force 5, Random Fire, where he plays someone called Phil.
Are we going to get to 5?
Who knows? If there's an upswing, maybe this is the nadir of the series, and this is like
I've
the
got
low
a
point.
Theory on that. I'll talk about it later. I've got a theory on it.
He was supporting
if
cast
listening
in
right now.
District 9. He was in Invictus, Mrs. Mandela, an episode of Strike Back, a few episodes of Black Sails, and lots of South African TV shows. Yeah. Then we've got Danny Keough, who plays Umberto Salvatore, who's like the drug dealer type Pablo Escobar sort of terrorist figure. He was in an episode of CI5, The New Professionals, a lot of South African TV shows. He was in Invictus as a supporting actor, small part in Caesar Jadotville. I don't know which part that was, but he was in there.
One of the mercenaries, you know, the Belgian
possible.
Ones.
He's listed as Mr. Garston or something like that.
Okay.
So I don't know. He was in Starship Troopers 3, Starship Trooper Harder in 2008. He was in Singing of the Laconia in 2010, which was like a mini series about an ocean liner that's sung by a U-boat.
Yep.
He was also in 3 episodes of Black Sails. And 1 episode of Call the Midwife.
Wow. First Call the Midwife on the show ever.
I tell you what, he just follows the work, that guy. He's got credits from the US, South Africa,
consummate
the UK.
Professionals on Op Delta Force.
Then we got Brian O'Shaughnessy, who plays Admiral Norman Henshaw. And he was in a film that sounds really interesting called Seven Against the Sun in 1964, which is a film about the South African army during operations on the border with Kenya or something like East Africa.
Oh, wow.
During the 40s with, you know, during the war. 1964 looks really interesting. He was also in the Shangani Patrol in 1970, which looks like really interesting South African film about the, I think it was the Matabele War. Then he was in a film called Mr. King Street's War, a series which sounds terrible called The Slavers, which is about two slavers at the very end of slavery in South Africa, where they're, or somewhere in sort of like the Cape area, where they're competing to get the last of the slaves.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Who greenlit that?
It sounds a difficult watch. Then he was in Range to Kill in 1987, Operation Hit Squad, which is like an SF film, like a special forces type one in the same year. Mentions of Death, which we've mentioned before. A couple of the other guys were in that as well. And he was also in an episode of CI5, The New Professional.
Oh my God. Jesus. It's one constant, now, that show.
Now, Clive Scott reprises his role as Sunland. And you'll remember him, of course, from Operation Delta Force 2.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Is he one of the Pentagon lads?
I think he must be.
Right, okay.
He's also in Diamond Mercenaries, which is also called Killer Force with Telly Savalas. That film we might be doing.
Yeah.
He was in a 1990 miniseries called The Fourth Reich, about a Nazi plot to overthrow Jan Smuts, 1939.
Wow.
Yeah. And there's an appearance by Ian Yule as General Alan Hightower. I did not spot him.
Really?
Yeah. Apparently, according to IMDb, which is the best source for this film, because this film is obscure. True.
Very obscure. Where?
He was playing General Alan Hightower, of course.
He's not the Bolivian or Colombian general.
No. Because he's General Alan Hightower.
What? Where the hell was he? Did they cut him?
I don't know, but he's listed.
Oh, bless him.
But there we go. And that rounds out cast.
Yeah, I mean, interesting. Like,
and if you manage to stick with us through that, then you are a true diamond.
You're a diamond mercenary, yeah. But this is what gets me with the cast for this one. So at this point, we're on three.
We've watched three of these so far.
We have. Clearly, because they retained two actors throughout the run.
Yeah.
And they swap them between Sparks and the other guy.
Except, of course, for Clive Scott, who plays Sunland.
Yeah.
Who you'll remember, of course.
It's like...
He's in two of the films.
I'm certain that they meant to have the Delta Force team the same all the way through.
Maybe?
Yeah. And I reckon, I've got a theory.
But why would you not just have Greg Collins play Mac in four?
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Why would you just give him Skip Lang?
Really confusing, isn't it?
Yeah. Skip Lang's height and appearance has varied so much in these three films.
Oh, it's crazy. What's the word? Like, feeling towards the team just is killed off. At least like Fast and Furious, it's the same kind of team. They might change them here and there, but it's the same. Expendables. Yeah, they're not the greatest movies, but you can follow those characters through four films.
If you like, yeah.
If you like to. I'm just saying it does add something where it does. You can develop the characters. So by this point, like when a character's killed off, spoiler alert, it has no resonance because he's not the same dude. Yeah, they do. The guy does at the start.
Does he? Does he die? Oh, no, he dies off screen.
Off screen.
We're going to talk about that in a minute.
And his friend is angry at his wife. But this dude's been played by four people at this point. So it's like, it has no meaning. Anyway, that's the final thoughts territory. But anyway, getting into the retro review again, it's from TV Guide from November 1999, and they you know, someone pissed in their Weetabix because they hate everything this month, and I absolutely love them for it. So without further ado, deep in Colombia, drug kingpin Salvatore tires of US agents raiding his storehouses, so he escalates the war on drugs by hiring renegade hacker Thane to implement a scheme that involves the hijacking of a nuclear sub, the USS Roosevelt. Salvatore threatens to arm the sub's conventional warheads with mustard gas and aim them at US major cities. Can Decker disarm the weapons, particularly the ones aimed at the UN drug confab, before the audience nods off as a result of exposure to excessive technobabble? On the land, on sea, and in air, these action pictures are ground out like Miss Lovett's meat pies. And even by the debased standards of escapist meals go, this one is tough to swallow. Though the Delta Men are attractive in a Soldier of Fortune centerfold way, they have the personalities of G.I. Joe dolls. For weekend warriors, the flick delivers sufficient cheap thrills and monosyllabic menace.
Ooh, monosyllabic menace. I like that. That's nice.
I know. Yeah. What a wordsmith that TV Guide writer was. But hit the nail on the head. Fuck it. It's shit. It's just
it,
bad.
Yeah, it is. It's not good.
The drop-off is so hard.
It's pretty remarkable.
So we asked our FOF faithful what they thought halfway through. And
Jesus, did anyone reply?
We got a couple.
Okay.
I'm so proud of anyone who's gone away and watched. So Matthew Moss, Historical Firearms, familiar name.
Great.
Said good, decent, okay. Adam Christiansen.
That's each of the films. That I was very generous.
I think you were. Adam Christian put, first one was great. Still haven't watched all the movies yet. Fair play. And Mr. C, 1966, said, been a few years since I've watched them. Definitely going to revisit now as they sound like a lot of fun. Well, they are a lot of fun. And talking of fun, we might be able to salvage the episode a little bit by going on to the Alley Tally.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It's time for Alley Tally on Fighting on Film.
We talked about this earlier, didn't we? And it seems that the efforts to make them look like actual US Delta Force operators is kind of slipping now, because now they're on with like Vectors.
Galil carbines.
The other vector, the bullpup as well.
Was that what that is? Which,
yeah, yeah. We're kind of moving away from the M4s and the MP5 and stuff. But
they're in it. They're on that table right near the end.
They decide not to give them.
I'm like, why is the whole film's armory from the last three movies on a table right near the end? Like, what's that all about? Because you can see, like, you got like Skip's M4 carbine with the beta mag. You've got like the Wolfer MP. Like, it's so weird. Like, I don't get it.
It's true. That is true. Because all the Latin baddies at the beginning of the HKG3s that last week Iraqi army was using.
Exactly. Exactly.
The mocked up minigun makes a return, and this time the guy's like running around with it, and it's not it's not attached to like a feed pack.
No, he's just wailing it around anything. At the start on the boat. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got to say that it's nice to see Milkos, the rotary grenade launcher, you know, from South Africa, that they make an appearance.
Yeah.
And then there's also Mac has a Milkor stopper, which is like the break action.
They get a lot launcher. Of use in the movie, I must admit. That's
they are OP, but yeah.
They are. Too. Yeah.
Just trying to think if there's anything else that's worth mentioning. I mean, that Vector, Delta would never use that. Ever.
That bullpup thing?
Yes. No way.
I thought if they'd all had them, then it would make them look uniform enough. But like it doesn't make sense why one of them's got it and four of them have. Like it's not uniform enough.
I don't really know why.
Just odd.
What else? Oh, the baddies that take over the Roosevelt probably have South African made Uzis.
That's really
made
cool.
Under license by Littleton Engineering, which were owned by Vector.
Oh, interesting.
So they're probably, I would guess. I'd guess.
There's a
you can't
jam.
See any markings. So
there's a jam caught on camera.
Yes, there is.
The baddie taking out the lads
ben
on the
Case
sub
gets stuck in the
reloads his pistol and there's a little stovepipe jam, which is lovely. Yeah. And I was like, Codgy Lewis,
you leave it
into.
I love it.
I know. For me. I mean, I love seeing the Saracens at the start. Like
that was wild. Yeah.
That was crazy to see. Yeah. Two British Army 70s armored cars turning up. Like, lovely, lovely. And, you know, if there's not Bedfords, then Saracens are a lovely.
Yeah, that'll do us. Yeah.
Saracen spotting. Helicopters on a train, being encased in a train carriage and then elevated up and flown away.
Yeah, they've seen a Bond film or two.
Like
or
James Bond level shit. I'm like, how did they get that on the train?
Do you know what I really loved about the whole train sequence is that Captain Skip Lang was giving a briefing about the mission on the train as they're
it's
going
nuts.
Into wherever they're going with
makes
a map
no
and
sense.
Stuff. And I'm like,
it makes no sense.
You'd have done this on the plane. Why are you doing it now?
Exactly.
And he doesn't even mention that they're gonna get into a helicopter.
Yeah.
At all.
It's like they're happy to be caught as well.
Yes.
Which is confusing.
I will say that the train sequence is one of my favorite parts of the film, but not for great reasons, which we'll talk about in favorite scenes.
Yeah.
I bet Captain Skip Lang wished his dad was around when he gets on board the USS Roosevelt again. He's like, oh shit, another submarine. Wish Dad was here.
I was willing for Dale Dye.
Wish Commander Dad Dale Dye was here.
Wish Commander Dad Dye was here. Come on. I like the whole 90s hacker trope of him being like a young buck. Like, I love
so
that.
Bad.
Like, it was so, yeah, his curtains going
max.
On. Like proper 90s
I'm on pills,
haircut.
Man.
I'm on these,
like, I need
I'm on,
my pills.
I'm on Tic Tacs. I'm on red. Jolly Ranchers. Yum, yum.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Like,
done a cocktail of Tic Tacs, Smints, and Gobstoppers. Tweaking his tits off. On the sugar
down
rush.
Down in them poppets. Another 90s reference. What's those little Calypso ice creams with the balls. Yeah.
That's when he's finished the job, he gets one of those.
That's this week's 90s telly chat.
Salvatore goes, I tell you what, you get a Calypso if you get this done by five.
Yeah. and a canetizer. He's a good boy.
slam the tizer back, whacking a load of Calypsos.
Oh yeah.
Pure ecstasy.
Loving life. I liked his whole look. Like he had some OG Stussy on. Which is like proper nice streetwear from the day.
Yeah.
That's nice. I think he had like a Dickies zipper. Like, but it was made of hoodie material. That's looking pretty popping for the 90s. A pair of chunky Adidas on as well. Mm.
This is what listeners come for. They want to hear about it.
But this is what the movie's reduced me to, because there's nothing else going on that I'm talking about the costuming of a nothing character. Like, that's how the bar's been lowered this week. And I did appreciate when they are doing the river assault at the start and they're all in like the traditional, they're trying to blend in. So they've got like robes or like little shawls. And one of them's wearing like jeans.
Ponchos and stuff.
And I was like, that's really nice. But then they sort of don't do that again. I wish they'd kept that up. Like, that gave them a bit more. I could understand the Galils if they're trying to blend in and all that, but then they don't swap their weapons out.
Yeah.
So it just, it seemed like, I thought, oh, he put some thought into that. That's really cool. Like, trying to blend them into the environment.
My favorite part of that actual scene is where Captain Skip Lang gets pissed on by one of the guards.
That's just so fun. And I'm like, how's he not seeing them? They've all got their heads out of the water.
He's literally like looking up at him in shock. Yeah. And the dude's taking a leak in the river.
There's any Stuart.
And I'm like, you're all downstream of this.
If there's any Stuart Lee fans, it's like piss hitting an Operation Delta Force operator's face. Do you remember that? It's like piss cascading on old man's face.
Cascading on Skip Lang's face.
Cascading on Skip Lang's face.
On a Skip Lang's face, not a not Skip the Lang's Skip Lang's
face. So I think maybe it's like talking the about
it's Skip yeah. Lang is the Doctor Who of action movies.
Regeneration
at the end of every film.
Yeah. This week, Skip Lang is played by Sean Pertwee's dad. John Pertwee. Right, moving on to favourite scenes.
Hello, I'm Al Murray, and you're listening to Fighting on Film, the world's number one war film podcast.
And I must preface, favourite is stretching this week. I think we've never stretched.
If I ruined it, and you were actually going to pick the golden shower scene.
No, I wasn't going to pick that, though. No, I was going to pick the opening mission. Because it did actually tie to the plot way more than last week.
Oh, no, it's so gash, though. The whole sequence is so bad. It, like, the sound design on it, Rob, it sounds terrible. If you watch the first two movies, they look good, they sound good, and it makes the action sequences work. Then I put this on, I was like, oh, well, I hope it's the same people making it, same production crew. It's not going to be terrible. And then the sound design on that opening battle was just awful.
It undermines it terribly. It does. There's a lot of stock sound effects
repeated and constantly.
Also, there's so much. The version we watch is on YouTube, guys. You can go around and watch it if you really
they're
want
all
to.
On there. Yeah. Millennium Films there. Has put them all but up on YouTube.
This version is clearly like a TV dub.
Oh yeah,
because every swear is edited out. Everyone says shoot, freaking. Like your goddamn witch, like all that kind of thing, and it really egregious.
My absolute favorite piece of dialogue from this film was when I swear to God, it's like Clive Scott and what's his name, Brian O'Shaughnessy, the two Pentagon generals are chatting, and Ian Yule's probably in the background, but we didn't spot him because we just went, looking.
Yeah,
and one of them turns to the other and he says, "We're looking up a dead horse's rectum." Now, what in the fuck? What the fuck did they cut out and overdub to include that
phrase? God.
"We're looking up a dead horse's rectum."
I've never heard that phrase. I mean, American listeners, it was American screenwriters.
Even
so
if it was, "We're looking up a dead horse's arse or ass."
Yeah, yeah. It's so bizarre.
Would you need to get rid of ass? Is ass bad enough for the TV? Is that
too
much?
It's so bad.
I feel
bad.
Like I've watched a Diagnosis Murder where we call someone an ass. I feel like I have.
Yeah, it's weird.
A dead horse's rectum. I you know what? You know what, Rob? I've been a historian for 15 years at this point, and I never thought that I'd get to the point in my career where I'm co-hosting a fantastic podcast, and I use the words, "We're looking up a dead horse's rectum."
New sentence alert. You heard it here first, folks.
What a wild ride this show
Matt's
has been.
Meltdown in real time.
Honestly.
That was the last time anyone saw Matthew Moss. The next day he was carted off to the infirmary shouting, "It was the horse's rectum."
It's the most bizarre line I've ever encountered on any of these films. Would
be even more bizarre that now the curse will be remembered forever.
Oh my God.
It's up there, isn't it? So
it really is.
Getting back to the favourite scenes. So that starting thing is okay. And it does set up the plot relatively well. The baddie actually has some motivation this week trying to get America back for constantly foiling his plans rather than just shooting nukes for shooting nukes' sake. And there's like the war on drugs thing in there to keep it relevant to the late mid-90s, yeah. I guess. But then this is where it falls down for me, because I thought, oh, great, now we're going to have like a... So one of the Delta Force operators has been like nearly, you know, mortally wounded, he's going to die. Are they going to be left in like behind enemy lines of a drug cartel, and they have to like fight their way out? That's what I thought the plot would be. You know, they'll be like cut off a little bit, have to rely on their smarts. And then I realized that I was imagining just a better movie. You know, like, you know, when you start doing that way too hard.
One that doesn't include the line, we're looking up a dead horse's rectum.
Exactly. But when you start doing that, you realize that the quality dip is not enough to keep you present. So I had to go back a few times and rewatch scenes, because I was thinking, oh, wouldn't it be cool if this happened? Wouldn't it be cool if, is this going to happen now? Is that going to happen now? And I'm like, I know that when I'm doing that of the movie, I know that it's losing me big time. It's just quite annoying. What about for you? Did you have any favorite bits?
I like the train sequence before the helicopter.
Okay, that's decent in terms of set piece.
And there's a bit where Captain Skip Lang avoids a grenade. A chap meets him in a train corridor, and he rolls a grenade towards him. He makes this like little shocked noise, kind of just shouts "ah," and then runs towards it into a compartment, and then he falls out the window, Rob. And then they put the blast sound effect over the back, like he's been blown out of it. But it's delayed by about 2.5 seconds. So he goes to the window, he's hanging there, and then it goes bang.
Yeah.
And someone like throws a spade full of like glass after him. And he's hanging there with his legs still in the compartment and his bullpup rifles flailing around. And the guy comes into the compartment and then he no-scopes him. He kind of like does a half sit up, no scopes him, and then gets up and everything's fine.
It's so weird.
It's one of the best grenade scenes I've ever seen.
Well, not the one where he drops the grenades at the guy's feet when they're trying to blow up the train. That was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, through the toilet. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
There was also so many shots where they've set up a pyro to go off like he's fired the milk or stopper. Or whatever it was called. But the guy jumping with the explosion is like a meter away from the explosion. And I'm like,
not quite got the
how
perspective
fucking
right.
hard is that to key up? Like, come on. You know, I know we're not Ridley Scott levels, we've got like 11 cameras like everywhere, but it's like, come on, guys. You know, and they had the Dune buggies back. They had the Delta buggies, where they were driven by the baddies. Yeah. It was just really confusing.
They can't have them every week.
Oh, it's really annoying. Like, and in terms of uniformness, the guys that attack that train look better than the Delta Force operators.
That's
like,
true. That is
really
true.
Weird.
I also love every scene where someone says "shoot" instead of "shit."
Oh my god, it's so bad.
There's that bit where is it Lombardi who's going for like the Oscar?
Yeah,
and because we haven't. I mean, anyone listening to this has no idea what this film's about. No. But essentially. They enter a mine for some reason, which is where the drugs are held, and one of them trips a laser, kind of like tripwire thing.
A Bosch battery pack for us.
And
for
you know that scene from Austin Powers where
that's what it looked like to me.
You know that scene from Austin Powers where he's on the steamroller and he's like, "Move, get out of the way, get out of the way, man." And the guards like just stood there screaming like no. This
really
scene actually
like
might
that.
Be longer. He it just really stands and looks at the tripwire and then looks up at Lombardi and then looks back at the tripwire.
Just fucking then, move, mate. Just walk and, a step to the left.
And then in the Oscar sequence where he's going like, I just told him to move. He wouldn't move. Yeah, they overdub him so
they
badly in that sequence.
With someone being like, you know, in like The Simpsons where they're watching that video.
The Denver
like,
Broncos.
My name is Mr. Black. It's like that. It's so bad. The Atlanta Falcons.
The Denver Broncos.
Yeah, it's so bad. Oh my god! It's just,
and it, we get like a rare moment of, you know, seeing the team in the, you know, their downtime and seeing their family, and I think, oh look, a wife is being introduced. Maybe she'll come back later.
A female character. Fucking
maybe
hell.
She'll get to talk to another woman or something about something other than the men. But no,
and no.
We never see her again, and she, yeah. All she says is, "Don't be so hard on yourself. I'm sure it wasn't your fault."
All she gets to say, yeah, and then never spoke again. The guy playing Lang in this one, I've got to say it, at certain angles, I kept thinking it was Joey Tribbiani out of Friends. I don't know why. I thought, and in my head, I'm like, this is the movie that Joey did.
He would have done a better job.
You could deep fake it using the footage.
You could.
So well.
You could do that. I'm not saying anyone should do that, but you could do that.
I might do that for the Twitter. Who knows?
Well, maybe it could be like a little extra for the Steelbook release.
Christ, yeah. Oh my god. I think we're cascading into final thoughts this week. We're spiraling, Matt. We really are. So, as you could probably tell, fair listener, this week is that Operation Dirt of Wars 3 is a huge dip in quality from the first and second.
I'm hoping we're in a parabolic arc right now.
So I was saying that. So that's what I was saying earlier. So it's a little bit like, you know, in Fast and the Furious, where everyone was like, oh, they've gone crap now. They're not very good. And then was it like the fourth or the sixth one? People never really thought
they achieved a level of good. But
yeah,
like
critically,
I'm following you. Yeah.
But like critically, people are like, oh, they're getting better now.
Oh, so well, they've got to the point where cars are swinging around mountaintops and stuff on cranes. So
now it's heist. Now it's a heist.
It's not believable anymore.
No, I know, right? But it's like that. But then we're really hitting franchise fatigue really quickly. And we said this last week. Dirty Dozen franchise, it held up way better.
Arguably,
and I think because the IP is stronger, obviously. You know, you're basing off of one of the most beloved Second World War films ever. And then you bring Marvin back, and then you bring some of the main cast back. So there's like these little touchstones of the original thing in there. And this
I hope Telly Savalas is playing Captain Skip Lang next week.
That would be absolutely amazing. But to put my critical hat on, I'm giving this movie way too many flowers than it deserves. But like, there's no constants in Operation Delta Force.
No. Like there's no stakes to these films either,
and there are no stakes, and it's
because
someone
dies off screen, and then later on Mac sacrifices himself. So let's just talk. I'm sorry to jump in on you, Rob.
No, it's absolutely fine.
We have to talk about the ending of this film for a moment, because there's been somehow a U.S. Navy submarine has been hijacked, and then there's some spicy bath bombs on board.
They're the green stuff from The Rock. That's what it is.
Yeah, but they're much bigger and look much more like a Lush bath bomb.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. The Lush biochemical collection coming this Christmas.
So we talked a little bit about Mockbuster type stuff last week, but someone definitely went, oh yeah, cool, VX balls, let's do that.
Yeah,
that'd be cool
for that wildly successful film that's way better than this.
Somehow they're on a submarine, and the submarine's going to New York, and the baddie asks for $1.8 billion.
Yeah,
he actually says the comma.
He says
he includes the comma.
$1.8 billion.
$1 billion. they go down on this like little submarine, like
the Ocean Gate.
The Ocean Gate submarine.
I mean, fuck me, it looked way better built than that tin can.
Actually, they go down. Actually, I will give them some props and say that the submarine set this week was actually better than the plot.
Yeah. Is that like a thing, like knocking off James Cameron's Titanic?
Maybe.
With the mini sub? Like,
maybe.
I'm trying to think of what was popular, like, at that
time. As well.
Oh, Abyss,
Yeah. It was around that time as well.
That's a good shout, you know, actually. Ripping cocaine in the new Image offices.
Oh my God, can you imagine if Ed Harris had been in this film? So they go down to the submarine, and they storm the submarine, and, you know, there's more more gunfire on board a pressure vessel, submarine.
Well, they do have more fisticuffs in the sub later on.
They do.
So, like, fair enough for them.
And they overcome the local baddie. And then they escape with the bath bombs, the spicy bath bombs of death. But at the same time, the nuclear submarine plows into, like, the island that the Statue of Liberty is on.
Yeah.
And Mac...
We're going to get crucified for not knowing that off by heart, even though we're British.
Staten Island?
It's just where that big woman stands in London, New York.
The big bronze lady. Anyway.
Yeah.
You said London then. People are really going to come
to you. And then I said New York, so it's fine.
Oh, my God. It doesn't matter, Rob, because we're told on screen that they're in New York, because it literally comes on screen and says New York.
New York.
The Statue
City.
Of Liberty. And New York City. The Statue of Liberty and the Twin Towers are right there. So you know it's New York.
The most interesting part of the New York bits is that in Madison Square Gardens, in the stock footage they're using, there's an advert for Virgin Cola. That was how bored I was. That I paused the movie and looked at the advert. And I was like, oh, Richard Branson's trying to crack the American market with Virgin Cola.
New Nikes are out. Nice.
Yeah. Macy's has got a sale on. Woo!
Great. But yeah, this submarine plows into New York. Nothing bad happens. All okay. Like, don't worry about the submarine.
Three people milling about in some bay in South Africa that they're shooting as New York. And oh, God. So bad, slapdash.
Mac sacrifices himself because the seal on the escape hatch won't seal, and he says, I'll do this. And you think, oh my God, look, Mac's going to actually die and sacrifice
Mac's
himself. One of the team
die.
Is going to make. He's going to die. He's going to. No one's going to know.
That's
but that
not
was
the end of the
reference.
Beginning. The end of the beginning is.
Glang.
Nobody deltas better.
Oh, amazing. These shows really are just for us. This is just us talking at this point. No one's listened to this.
And I was very, very drunk.
And he doesn't die. He kind of like floats to the surface and they find him and they rescue him and he's fine. And he's back next week playing Skip Line, Captain Skip Line.
There's no fucking stakes, is there? That's the problem.
No.
And they're clattering around that box of lush biochemical bath bombs like it's nothing. And they don't even know what it is. Like they say on the ship, I have no idea what these do. It's like, well, surely you should be fucking careful with them then. It's like, come on. Like you found a locker full of dead US Navy sailors. Like, surely you'd be careful.
I mean, at least this week the baddie has a more defined goal.
That's what I'm going to say.
He's
about to come into that.
He wants the satellites destroyed because the satellites watch his operation and interfere, or he'll fire the spicy balls of death in ICBMs. Why he won't nuke with the ICBMs?
Use them, mate. They're just as bad. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to take out the nuclear warheads and I'm going to add
nuclear weapons. Yeah.
The mustard gas balls.
The mustard gas bombs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bro's going 1916 on him. He knows what he wants to do. I like the bit at the end though with the villain where he's in the meeting room with all the other baddies.
They take
him out and shoot him.
He's at like a spectre meeting and he's like, your plans fail, mate. Come on.
It was quite a satisfied end because he gets offed by his own people. Like I quite
like
but
that. You don't see it though, sadly. But yeah, I agree.
And then the movie just ends
right there.
Oh,
with
dear.
Again with them like lying down near water laughing.
Yeah, like such a sort of sitcom ending.
The action's very flat though.
It is flat.
Said.
That's the problem.
Acting
in the movie
is not great.
It's really flat. The characterization.
These are the kind of films that you can forgive if the action's good. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if the action isn't there, and especially with some of the bad sound design and the bad framing of shots that you mentioned and the delay of the guy throwing the glass out of the window after him and stuff.
Yeah, just like little things. Like the continuity isn't that great.
tighten it up a bit, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
This is like the Operation Delta Force franchise we're talking about here.
It's not so bad it's good. It's just bad. And like, that's the worst thing a movie can be, when it just doesn't have anything redeeming about it. Mm. Like, you can't go, oh, have you seen Operation Delta Force 3? Because it's got this really cool thing in it. Like, there's nothing you can pick out. But like with Operation Delta Force 2, you could, you know, it's got Del Dye in it. You know, there's some cool shootouts like Operation Delta Force 1. That's actually a solid, tight action movie. Mm. Like, it clearly is the best one at this point. But like, it's just weird. Like, I didn't expect the drop off to be this big, but it is. Like, yeah. It's just so bizarre.
So join us next week to find out whether the upswing begins and Operation Delta Force 4, Operation Delta Force Harder, is better, the same, worse.
We'll never know. It's Christmas week, so anything can happen. Maybe Santa will wrap it up in a lovely little bow for us next week. So as always, you can listen to the entirety of the back catalogue of the podcast on Fighting
the
on
rest,
Film.
The rest of the podcast is a lot better than
there's a lot more. You know, we've had guests like Del Dye, Al Murray, James Holland, Peter Cannick Adams, you know, award-winning directors, Emmy-nominated documentary makers. So if you are listening for the first time, this is quite a departure from regular programming.
Oh my God. Imagine if someone came to it through this.
If you're listening, folks, and you've stuck with us for Operation Delta Force December, you know, we're very, very grateful. We like to have a bit of fun at Christmas. We like to find some fun action movies to sort of have a bit of a laugh with, because it's Christmas. We want to sort of wind down the year having a laugh. But yeah, do go back and check the back catalogue.
It definitely wasn't the best thing I've watched this week.
No, more on that in another episode. So, Merry Christmas, one and all, and we'll catch you again next week for another Delta Force movie. Catch you next week, folks, and Merry Christmas.
Bye, guys.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from L.A. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.